Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 6th of, what is it, March?
May.
Oh, I can get that wrong. Yeah, oh well. Anyway, 6th of May, welcome. I'm joined by Rory.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to be talking about the wokists trying to deny that the CIA is on their side after the CIA endorse wokism. The fact that there's now the BLM for Chauvin movement, by the looks of it.
There is.
At least by one juror. Mm-hmm. And the 31st Anglo-French War is upon us. Good God. I didn't know there were 30 of them, but I'm proud of that. Anyway, so just a little few things first. So first, we have a new premium article on the website. This is written by Lauren Southern, the political activist and documentary filmmaker on the rise of systemic tabloidism. So go and give that a watch if you're a premium member. Also, we have coming up the Hanno the Navigator history podcast, which Carl did with Bo Dade. So mm-hmm. for people who might not know, I knew nothing about this, was there's a guy who started in Carthage and then decided to sail all the way around to like West Africa.
Right.
And they're not too sure on like some of the locations. But that's amazing. Like he's the first guy to ever do it. And he did it in like the era of Carthage, not the age of exploration or anything. And he found some gorillas and brought them back to Carthage. It's just really funny. Like, hell of a story. Anyway, that's going to be premium. That should be up this afternoon, hopefully 5 p.m. So if you're around then, go and watch that on lotuseaters.com. But without further ado, let's get right into it. So we covered yesterday the story of the CIA recruitment adverts and MI5 being unbelievably woke. And some people have not taken this well, and they've tried to deny that the CIA are on their side because it makes them look bad, which, okay. I mean, yeah, it does. Likewise, the CIA making wokest propaganda. We are the resistance. Not sure. And some of the mickeys I've seen, so this is the Babylon Bee reporting here. CIA replaces waterboarding with 12-hour lectures on intersectional feminism. Oh, sorry, maybe I shouldn't call it reporting. It's sort of Babylon Bee's prophecies.
Yeah.
Like, if they're already endorsing wokeism, why would they not bring this into the interrogation room?
Indeed.
I mean, if you're Al-Qaeda. Anyway, so the original video that we showed someone who just like quoted it off, you know, they're taking a clip of it on Twitter, but just so people can know, it's actually on the CIA's YouTube channel. The CIA has a YouTube channel, of all things. 240,000 views, doing well, I guess. 10,000 dislikes, not so well, I guess. But this is not like a one-time thing either. You can see here, they called it Humans of the CIA, and this is like a running series.
Weird phrasing.
Yeah, we are humans, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, we might torture and kidnap, but at least we're human. All right. Anyway, so this is one of the best things I've ever seen, this particular video. In case someone hasn't watched it, go and give it a watch, because you had some of the best stuff in there, like such bangers as "I'm an intersectional cisgendered millennial woman of color and I have a mental disorder." Like, okay,
right,
wonderful. Like, protect the USA with that, I guess. So there's the fact that they also posted it on Twitter, in case you don't believe me and you think the CIA YouTube channel is a spook or something. Mm-hmm. The CIA also has a Twitter account, which you can see the same clip from the advert here that links to the YouTube channel. I still find it weird that the intelligence agencies have social media accounts, but whatever. So there's loads of these. It's not just a one-off. So if we go to the next link, we can see here there's another video called Humans of CIA, and this one has a much lower number of views, but also equally a large number of dislikes.
What do these ladies do in the CIA?
So these are all just different recruitment videos. So they decided to do like a series of videos called Humans of CIA for each different one.
Okay.
It's a different person celebrating wokeism or diversity and inclusion or some and such. And of course, she was the worst, the one with the 200,000 views. You know, "I'm an intersectional woman of color, cisgendered millennial."
Yeah.
God. But some of the other stuff is also got flavors of that kind of language. And I want to play a small compilation of some of the stuff I found, just so you can, you know, see some of the other things. So let's play this.
Then adding to that are the social challenges both women and people of color face. So it really just became a balancing act from there. I struggled to feel included, but I was lucky to have a senior analyst recognize others' sometimes exclusive behavior. And as an ally and genuine mentor, she encouraged me to pursue new opportunities. And every day I feel more empowered to speak up. There are people here who recognize that and are holding CIA as an institution accountable for the diversity and inclusion that it champions.
Growing up gay in a small southern town, I was lucky to have a wonderful and accepting family. I always struggled with the idea that I might not be able to discuss my personal life at work. Imagine my surprise when I was taking my oath at CIA and I noticed a rainbow on then-director Brennan's lanyard. I remember being stunned. Inclusion is a core value here. Whatever their gender, gender identity, race, disability, or sexual orientation can bring their entire self to work every day.
So it's kind of mind-numbing, but of course there's the worst one. There's just the other parts. Yeah. Although you can see some of the language in there, like the term ally,
yeah,
she uses, for example.
I did think that.
You can see it's intersectional terms.
It's the sorts of people you want fighting the Pablo Escobars of the world.
So totally prepared.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I'm going to bore him to death. Okay. So this isn't even a surprise. Like, I don't know why anyone would doubt that this is the, you know, situation of United States upper echelons, when you've had decades upon decades of indoctrination, and now these people, of course, have got jobs, and many of them have got jobs within intelligence agencies, in the military, so on and so forth. And this particular tweet, just as a summation, there's a whole bunch of different woke stuff that's come out of different branches of the US military since Biden took office. Yeah. But this one, I think, encapsulated just like the stupidity of it. I mean, so this guy. History was made on Friday with the first ever all-gay US Navy helicopter crew.
Wow.
Wait, what do you mean history is made? Like, there's some guys who are talented, they can operate a helicopter, and that's what's interesting about them. But now they're gay. That's what's super interesting. But also the absurdity. It's like the literal memes of Trump bombs you, it's a plane. You know, Biden bombs you, it's a plane, but it's got Black Lives Matter and a rainbow flag. Like, they're literally in the helicopter with the rainbow flag. Like, yes, America and tolerance.
I'm sure the Taliban would be terrified.
I mean, it would be a good strategy for terrifying the Taliban, actually. It's like, you bring them in, you lock them down, we're going to interrogate you. I will never crack. Just bring in like five guys who start like dancing in front of him. You know,
like, could you make a martyr out of someone who was killed by that crew?
Oh man, I don't know. But I wanted to go on. So the response, as I said, is there are types trying to neglect that this has anything to do with their movement, because it looks bad that the left are now endorsed by the CIA. So this is a Vice article, Vice being a woke outlet. The CIA's woke ad is an absurd psyop. That's melting people's brains. It's a psyop. The CIA are playing 4D chess. They're trying to convince you that we like wokeism just to get in there or something. There's no reason to take the coup plotting agency at face value. But many commenters have done so just for that in the past week. It's like, well, what do you mean? Like, that's their recruitment ads putting at you. And there's not just one, there's loads of them. And as we've seen in Britain, this isn't even a surprise. Like, the MI5, MI6, and GCHQ have also done the same thing. Internal documents show the same thing. The leaks we've had to the Lotus's website that we put up from the Ministry of Defense have had the same thing. There's no reason not to believe that it's the case that a bunch of people who have been indoctrinated at university, quite frankly, have then gone to in the workforce and have taken positions in the agency.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple line to draw there. Like, it's not hard. But for some reason, the Vice have got to deny that they have anything to do with the CIA, or at least their ideology does. No, the CIA hate us, we swear. It's like, well, what happens when they endorse you? So he says in here, for a while now, the Central Intelligence Agency has been rolling out a rebrand to attract diverse operatives with roots in countries they've terrorized, with coups, rigged elections, death squads, and assassination plots. All of the things the wokers would happily do to Americans en masse if they get their way. It's not clear whether this agent actually exists. Huh. Not a surprise given the agency's history, or is a creation of a marketing firm well-versed in these sorts of campaigns. So I love how he's like, this agent's not even real. She's an actor. It's like, huh, okay. Remember when Alex Jones used to say stuff like this?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're all actors. It's like, okay, well, now Vice says it about the CIA. They're all just play actors or something. I mean, as I showed, there's not just one. There's a whole bunch of those videos. And they're all play acting as well, I guess. And I assume Vice will be banned from every social media for saying so. They continue. But it is clear that the narrative has been finely calibrated to distort the meaning of intersectionality to apply to any set of interlocking symbols. A nod to, quote, imposter syndrome here, a raised feminist fist icon there. The ad, it seems, was also finely calibrated to break the minds of everyone who gazed upon it. I mean, they're saying that the narrative has been finely calibrated to distort the meaning of intersectionality.
Right.
I don't think it's distorting it.
No,
I think
it's
propagating it. And can be applied to any set of interlocking symbols. Any set. Any set at all. There's no particular kinds of symbols.
That's the point of intersectionality.
But like, the idea that there's no symbols of intersectionality. The raised feminist fist. No. Come on. No, those are just spooks. Okay, well, let's go to the Google search of it here. All these symbols, they're symbols of intersectionality now. Glad how that works. Just any set of symbols. I'm sure the CIA could have used these symbols. You know, some bold guy standing as a skinhead with these kind of symbols all over him. Just as valid as an intersectional agent.
Why not?
So, just going back to the article for a minute, there's one more quote. So he says that He takes a quote from Glenn Greenwald, who gives his opinion on this. He says, "Wokeness ultimately is neither really an ideology nor a politics." I'm sorry to say, Glenn Greenwald, because I quite like the guy. His tweets are usually on point. You're just wrong. You're just absolutely wrong. And Carl made a pretty good video about this called "What Is Woke Culture," in which he takes quotes from Ash Sarkar defining what woke culture is after denying that woke culture exists, and then just, you know, takes her word for it. So she says in here that she wants, on a political level, redistributive goals, whether that's power, wealth, land, in order to pursue aims of social justice along class, gender, and race lines.
Doesn't sound familiar at all.
Socialism. It's just, okay, so take the class bit. Okay, if you wanted a political system which would redistribute land, power, and wealth on class lines, you got yourself socialism. And she defines woke culture as doing that on, as well as class lines, gender and race lines. So we're going to redistribute land, power, and wealth on race and gender lines. So, okay, so it's just race and gender socialism as well. So you got the class socialism, then you got the gender socialism and the race socialism. Fantastic. I mean, that is what woke culture is. Thank you, Ash Sarkar, for defining it. And if Glenn Greenwald wants to know, I can go give the video a watch, which everyone should. It's a great video. And of course, this violates the liberal principles of any liberal society.
Of course.
I mean, fundamentally, the group identity should not be primary. It should be the individual identity.
Mm-hmm.
But also on the land and wealth part, you've got the point that, well, of course, it should not be that the state comes and just takes your property. No, the state should protect your property rights if you're living in a liberal society, which is why the whole ideology, if it wasn't clear already, is completely antithetical to a liberal society and therefore repugnant. So he goes on, the author, to complain about Greenwald's argument that he thinks that wokeness is in the CIA. And he says, "It conflates the left with wokeness, as if the CIA's development of this language should be taken at face value." Conflates the left with wokeness. What is the left?
Wow.
How could you define the left without socialism here? I mean, do you think socialism's a right-wing ideology? Like, race socialism, that's what the right-wingers are arguing for.
I'd say it was. Why not?
The Black Panthers, well-known right-wingers. Anyway, so at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you say, it matters what you do. Every corporation and government agency can adopt the anti-racist rhetoric or inclusive language it wants, but who cares? Who cares? So they're just saying it. They're never going to actually do it. And it's like, well, that's BS, and you know it. As we covered yesterday, just hop across the pond to see where this goes. And you can see that, for example, MI5, MI6, offering internships on the basis of your race. You had to be black to apply.
Yeah.
If you're white, you could not get the internship. And then when you go to the GCHQ, they had the same thing, in which it was, an IT and customer support role we showed in this episode. And they said that you could only apply if you have BAME skin. You know, brown skin people can get the job, but whites can't. I mean, that if that's not a good enough reason to care, I don't know what is. I mean, open racial discrimination. And we're only there because our clock on this whole thing seems to tick faster, with the French ticking even faster. But the Americans just behind us. So, I mean, look forward to that. I mean, that's why you should care. So he goes on for the last line here, which I just found funny. "What it says in public simply does not matter, and turning propaganda into a week-long discourse cycle helps no one." She's like, right, okay, so what that means is, please don't point out that the CIA has endorsed our ideology. That is all this article is. It's just like, the CIA comes out and endorses the woke left, and he's like, crap.
Don't let people know the feds support us.
Yeah, we are just feds. Yeah. Like, I used the term last week, woke in the dark. I quite like the term.
Woke in the dark.
And in case you think I'm talking S and you and this guy, I don't know, maybe he's a secret right winger or something. Just go to his Twitter account and just check out his bio. Yeah. "Like a terrorist attacking an innocent family," some quote, blah, 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 blah. He, him. He, him. Pronouns in the bio every single time. It's something about it. So that's the left-wing response, which is to deny that this exists or is some kind of like 4D chess to try and undermine the woke movement or something, and not just that these people have been to university and then got a job, which seems more reasonable. So then there's the right wing response, and the right wing response I find more based in reality. So this is Mike Pompeo here. "When I was director of the CIA, we valued individuals based on their talent and skill, not their race or sexuality. Shock horror. I'll never forget one of those female analysts who said to me, 'Thank you for valuing my work. I want my abilities and achievements to define me, not my sexuality.'"
Well, she's stuck in the past.
just get with the times, I guess. What's wrong with that? Tell me what is wrong with that. I mean, this is literally MLK's dream, and the Republican Party and the you know, the Republicans here and the right in America are embodying that through and through, and the left are just like, no, we need to change entirely people on race, and I just can't get over how they take themselves seriously in the world. But there's also Ted Cruz. So Ted Cruz had a good response to this as well, in which he saw the video. If you're a Chinese communist or an Iranian mullah or Kim Jong-un, would this scare you? To be honest, kind of yes. One of the interesting things, I have like a bit of an obsession with North Korea. One of the interesting things about their state ideology, when they're writing to the North Korean people in their newspapers or whatever, they try and big up the degeneracy of America and South Korea that's been infected by Yankee nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm just like, well, on this point, like, this is Yankee nonsense that nobody needs. So, I mean, they're not wrong about that.
This is what your country could become.
Yeah. But one of the interesting things, I saw Tucker Carlson's response. Tucker Carlson's response being half joking, but of course that this is 4D chess. This is 4D chess. Actually, the CIA is on our side, guys. They got to recruit wokists to infect wokist movements and then bring them down from the inside. So let's play this.
So maybe the CIA actually does know this. Maybe they really have figured it out. Maybe the intersectional lady with the emotional problems is in fact a deep cover operative. Think about that. It makes sense, actually. When defeating ISIS was the goal, we recruited Arabic speakers. Why wouldn't we? Now that our own professional class is obviously the real threat, we need people who can blend in at McKinsey. In the Middle East and here, we need agents who understand the enemy, who speak his language, who understand his customs, who can break bread with tribal leaders in a yurt in the mountains, or for that matter, in Napa or on the Quad. For a mission like that, we are going to need a brand new kind of spy. The old kind will not do. Imagine this guy trying to infiltrate the queer dance collective at Brown.
Bond. James Bond.
Yeah, good luck, pal. Good luck on the Brown campus. Yes, those were cigarettes without filters, but not the right kind. That guy was smoking testosterone-enhancing tobacco. Think the enemy wouldn't notice that?
I love Tucker. He did a whole great segment on this, but that was the best part. I really want to believe Tucker that it's 4D chess and the CIA and MI5 and GCHQ really have our backs here, and they're trying to take down the greatest threat to Western civilization, which comes from within, which is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Which is just socialist activists. So I don't think it's true. And then the best example I have for this is probably some of the leaks we got, and I just want to demonstrate them again because they're so unbelievable. So this was someone sent us this from the Royal Air Force, in which you can see here, this is an internal memo to all forces within the Royal Air Force. You must now use common pronouns, which include they, she, he, zer, per, them, her, him, her, per, their, her, his, her, and pers. You must learn all of these pronouns and then use them as appropriate at all times. And I love some of the language in here. It really sounds like something that come out of like China or the Soviet Union. Personnel are reminded that their obligation to promote total inclusivity, and total inclusivity is non-negotiable. What does that even mean? Total inclusivity. I mean, if you want total inclusivity, okay, so inclusivity is you're accepting more things and therefore more tolerant, but total inclusivity, like absolute inclusivity, I mean, this is what the left promotes when they're like, no, we need to be more inclusive, more inclusive, more inclusive. What does that mean? What it means, getting rid of exclusivity, in which case, where, as Carl points out, like, when you get to the end point of this, well, how do you say that pedos shouldn't be legal and part of society, leftists?
Exactly.
If you've got total inclusivity, well, the pedophiles have an opinion, therefore you need to be inclusive and tolerant and accept their sexual... No. No. There are standards. Get in the wood chipper.
Just get a flying pedo squadron in the Air Force.
Is that where the Royal Air Force wants to go?
Yeah.
Of course not. In which case, start thinking, for Christ's sake. Like, total inclusivity or inclusivity for inclusivity's sake is not a virtue. It is entirely nonsense. Mm. And you need exclusivity. I mean, why do you have standards to join the Royal Air Force then? Why are you so exclusive? Why do you have fitness standards? Fat pride. You know? Of course not.
It was at one time the
greatest
flying force in the world, but yeah.
I thought you were going to say that there was at one time a standard that you had to be a certain level of fat or something.
I don't have to be below a certain height.
Yeah.
But
like, I know the RAF get bullied in the military, Air Force gets bullied because it's like, you're not real fighters.
Yeah.
Go and sleep in your 5-star hotels.
Yeah.
But anyway. But yeah, that's why I find the leftist response so absurd, because it doesn't reflect reality.
Mm.
I mean, the leaks we get within the British military and the public stuff from the Secret Services is entirely woke. And it's like, well, okay, fine. That's
I've written some similar articles on what Canada are doing, their armed forces.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really quite.
You see similar stuff in Australia, in New Zealand. Yeah. In which case, why would the Americans be immune from exactly the same thing?
Yeah.
Vice. Why would they? Mm. Why would they need a psyop to try and convince people that they're trying to undermine wokeness or something? It's utter nonsense, and they know it. Anyway.
It is.
Let's move on. So tell me about the BLM activist who's desperately trying to save Derek Chauvin from prison.
Yeah, so one of the jurors in the Chauvin trial, he's come out. I think he's the first to come out and actually do interviews and things. He's basically going to save Derek Chauvin's life.
So this is the juror. I think we covered a little bit of him previously, but he's sort of going out of his way to help Chauvin get the appeal done.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it was yesterday. Derek Chauvin's lawyer, Eric Nelson, sent a transcript to the judge, whose name is Peter Cahill, requesting a retrial. This was on the grounds of breaches in the interest of justice, abuse of discretion that deprived the defendant of a fair trial, prosecutorial and jury misconduct, and errors of law at trial. So this was over a range of things. I'll start with a smaller details. So if we go to cumulative. So cumulative evidence. Throughout the entire trial, there was 48 witnesses over the whole entire 3 weeks. I think of those 3 weeks, there was only 3 days that the actual defense brought witnesses to be questioned.
It was almost entirely the prosecution defending their witnesses.
So the prosecution basically hammered down the use of force experts. So they had, which were like from a variety of different skills. You had the Donald Williams the second, who was just a bystander, but he said he was a jiu-jitsu.
So this is the expert. MMA guy.
Yeah, the MMA guy, who basically was swearing at the officers the entire time. He said that Derek Chauvin was initiating a blood choke on George Floyd, which would constitute his a lethal use of force. They then had police lieutenants, police sergeants, multiple trainers, all of which are leading questions to try and like swing it in a certain way.
Yeah.
Admittedly, none of them were very helpful for the prosecution. Derek Chauvin, as soon as Eric Nelson stepped at the question, and he was basically able to like say, well, would this be justified in an actual situation?
And also the number of them got them in trouble with the judge. The judge complained.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he chastised a firefighter who was there, and she was hurling abuse at, and basically every time Eric would question her, she would kick off. So there was that. There was also the issue of the venue change. So I wrote an article about this. So prior to the trial, we had the news that George Floyd's family had been paid $27 million to settle a wrongful death lawsuit.
The city paid out the money to him.
Yeah,
and this was obviously kind of biasing the jury.
Because it's absolutely massive in the media.
The city already says that he's guilty.
Absolutely huge in the media. Basically, Nelson argued that it came under suspicious timing, could be highly prejudicial against his client. The judge, he conceded that it was unfortunate. He said it was a pain that it was all over the media when we're in the midst of jury selection, basically. And he called it a legitimate concern. But then he basically granted a motion saying that he would question the jurors to make sure that they hadn't been tainted by anything they'd seen in the media. And he effectively said he wished people would stop talking about the case, because it was so massive. Before the trial, you had George Floyd's family outside the courthouse calling for justice. I think we got a link of that. It's just there was a lot of media pressure to have him indicted with murder. Then we had the issue of Maurice Hall, who was George Floyd's best friend and also a drug dealer who was in the car with him on the day of his death.
Like dealing him the drugs that he then took.
He pleaded the fifth, which effectively is his right not to self-incriminate. So he was not he stepped away from being able to be trialed, but from appearing in the trial. But they could have forced him to come in because he was an essential witness who could have provided essential information on George Floyd's sort of state before he was taken out of the car.
How many pills did you sell him?
Apprehended, would be the question you'd effectively, ask. You then had during the trial, Maxine Waters, the congresswoman, even who was telling telling the protesters to get more confrontational and stay on the streets to fight for justice. The judge called this abhorrent. Even though she, as a congresswoman, should not be making comments.
It didn't end there either. Like Bernie Sanders chimed in, Joe Biden chimed in.
Exactly. So Joe Biden called George Floyd's family while during the jury's decision. Yeah. So I think we got a clip of that.
It was just he was just calling. He knows how it is to lose a family member. And he know the process of what we're going through. So he was just letting us know that he was praying for us and hoping that everything would come out to be okay. That's basically it.
So there was a bit of a cock-up there as well, which is that apparently he called first and thought the jury had already been sequestered, and they hadn't. So the news broke that he called them before they were even sequestered.
Exactly.
And then called them afterwards after the guilty verdict.
Basically, the whole issue was sequestration for the trial. It was one of the things that Eric Nelson was talking about. He said that the trial should have been moved, really, because obviously the area was so... Everyone was so opinionated about it in the area. It's hard to get a fair trial with a jury who comes from that area around there. And then you have things like Joe Biden getting involved, congresswomen getting involved. You have all the media pressure, all calling for what they call as justice. And he said, basically, if we can't get it moved, we should at least sequester the jury for the entirety of the trial. So they have absolutely no outside influence, which the judge declined to do. So then we come to Brandon Mitchell, who is this juror number 52.
So this is the guy who I'm sort of just going to say is the BLM activist who's trying to get Derek Chauvin off with his own actions.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
So this would count as the jury misconduct. I think this is what Eric Nelson's talking about.
Yeah. So he's got all these previous complaints. Yeah. The jury misconduct is based on this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Although he doesn't expressly mention his name, but
I mean, who else could be?
Exactly. So in this clip here, we hear him speak to Erica Campbell on a show called Get Up on April 27th.
Let's start with this process of you becoming a juror number 52. How did you become a juror?
So they kind of summons you, then they send you a questionnaire, and they give you an interview, and it's really just the lawyers decide based off the interview who's the least biased.
Why do you think they picked you to be a juror?
For me, it was like, I think because I was so mild-mannered, I didn't get too emotional. While I was being interviewed, I didn't answer any questions that were that got me riled up. So I kind of kept it even tempered the entire time, so it didn't seem like I was too biased either way.
Prior to the case, how much did you know about George Floyd and how he was killed?
I had seen like a little portion of the video, but I couldn't really watch the video like that just because it wasn't something that I wanted to see so much of.
Right.
Of black men being killed. It was like, I can't watch it. So I clicked on it on accident one time and turned it right off. And that was all I knew, really.
So that's interesting. So
it is.
Because it's obvious BS.
Yeah.
Obvious BS, as we will probably show in a minute.
But
the fact that also previously he was asked this by the judge, I recall.
Yeah.
And to the judge, he said he knew nothing.
Yep.
And yet on the show, he's like, oh, I'd seen a bit, but not the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing about the case. Never seen it in his life.
So his story changes.
Yep.
And there's a reason for that.
Exactly. Because on, I'm not sure what day it was, on May the 2nd, the Post-Millennial posted a picture of Mr. Mitchell. If we go down a bit.
Just so you can see a shirt.
Yeah. There's a full picture on the towards the bottom. There he is. So that was on August the 31st, 2020, at a protest in Washington, D.C. So if you see his...
I assume it was a protest about, I don't know, 9/11 veterans' rights or something.
Well, yeah.
Totally unrelated. Yeah. And he wore this shirt that says, keep your knee off our necks, yeah. BLM, with your red fists. For no reason. I don't know. It's just wash day. Last shirt in the drawer.
He knew nothing. He knew nothing. But yeah, so in reference to this protest, he said, the opportunity to go to DC, the opportunity to be around thousands and thousands of black people, I just thought it was a good opportunity to be part of something.
Part of what? Are you like, you're part of the BLM movement. That's what you are. And what was the BLM movement arguing about?
And he's also wearing the hat.
Yep. What were they doing? They were campaigning on George Floyd's George Floyd's death, which you said you just hadn't seen anything. And now after the trial, you're saying, oh, I saw a small bit of the video and nothing else.
Mm.
Yeah. Innocent governor.
And then today, Andy Ngo released this. So he was featured in a podcast called The Wholesome Podcast last year.
That's his podcast that he runs.
Was it his one, is it?
Yeah.
Right. And he's wearing the same t-shirt. So it seems to be that he's lied to the judge about his...
And as Andy Ngo points out in this interview, he said that he does not recall wearing or owning the shirt after being asked about the shirt. But it's like, yeah, but on your podcast, you're wearing the bloody shirt. On your Facebook page, you're wearing the bloody shirt. You say that the reason you're wearing it is because you're going to a BLM protest.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never worn it. I don't own it. Oh, boy.
He's blind. But so it seems that he's not unbiased. And he must have had some sort of influence over the jury.
He definitely isn't unbiased.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lied to the judge
in
his statement that he didn't know much about the George Floyd case or knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
Didn't know nothing, mate.
Yeah.
So it's, I just can't go over it. Like, he's clearly a BLM activist. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's one thing. You're allowed to do it, blah, blah, blah. I think BLM's organization's full of S, but, you know, whatever. And fine. Okay. But then you get called for jury duty. You lie to the judge. You get on the jury. And you think, you know, jury nullification, right?
Yeah.
So CGP Grey's made a video about this. That's great.
Yeah.
People want to know about that. But essentially, you get on the jury and you know that the guy's guilty, but you're going to hold your ground and get him nullified. And instead, no, he's even worse. He's actively going to be an activist on there. But then you'd shut your mouth. I mean, if you were on a jury as an activist and you were trying to subvert justice, would you spend the few days afterwards gloating about it?
Well, exactly.
Or would you shut your mouth and
he's
be
now,
like...
He's now come out and he's... I think he said in that interview we just listened to, he's basically encouraging people to... to sit on the jury. And he said about making a difference. He's talked about how important it is to be a black man and sit on a jury like that.
Like, there was another clip we played in the previous episode from that exact podcast in which he said that, you know, what's the reason you should get on a jury, sir? And he's like, oh, so you can affect change and change society. And it's like, that's not the reason for a jury.
So it's a problem for the entire, trial, really.
It's a huge problem for the prosecution.
Yeah.
It's a huge problem for the state.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful for Derek Chauvin and Nelson, the lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. Because Eric Nelson put in an appeal a week or so ago. So this just gives them extra ammunition, really. As well as like the congresswoman who came out and was on top of everything else, this is basically the icing on the cake. So Andrew Branker, who I've been following throughout his trial, he's a self-defense expert. He's been in the business for about 30 years. He's also close with people in the case. He said in this article here, the defense moved for what's called a Schwartz hearing. I'm not a law expert. I'm not sure what that is.
This guy is, so we're taking his word for it.
Yeah. He's basically said the verdict could be impeached, i.e. shown to be invalid, on the grounds of jury misconduct from this man here. He said this hearing would involve direct question of the jurors, i.e. Mr. Mitchell, by the judge and the defense counsel. The outcome of this could either be a retrial or even a mistrial, depending on how the judge and the defense talk about it.
But it also brings a whole bunch of other stuff into question because, of course, they asked him, you know, this one lied. Okay, we don't know about the rest of the jury, but this one lied for sure. But there were two instances. I mean, as you said, when they started off, they asked them, do you know about the money they'd given to his family? And they all said no. Well, obviously, it was one bloody a liar. So how many of the rest of them were lying? But also, there was the instance, as you said, when Maxine Waters came down.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing it. Nelson was like, oh, come on, this is obviously going to take them. And the judge said, look, I've asked them if they've watched the news and none of them said they know anything about it.
What's the thing? There was all these sidebars as well during the... Because I watched basically every single day of the trials, writing it all.
So a sidebar is like someone says it and then they
So effectively, if there's something that's been said that's really against the code of law, the defense attorney will call a sidebar, or prosecutor, or whoever, will call a sidebar to speak to the judge. Apparently, the judge didn't record any of the sidebars. So they've got no record of what was spoken about in the sidebars.
Seems weird.
Yeah, which is another issue. Just one of many, including this man here. So it's not looking good.
But I can't get over the absurdity of the BLM activist here being the one that's giving the best evidence. Because, of course, Nelson can make these claims on, you know, not sequestered, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But if the jury were legit and they were just like, look, we know nothing about the case.
Yeah.
We listed the evidence. We just thought overwhelmingly it showed Derek Chauvin was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Guilty. He'd kind of be without a limb. He's like, well, I can't actually show that the jury were tainted.
Yeah, exactly.
But if the jurors are just going to come out and say, hey, we were tainted, I mean, particularly this one, not even like...
This is your CIA psyop, I think.
Yeah, I mean, not even like, I watched the news, but I'm a BLM activist, and I'm going to get him off. It's like, okay. It's not even small, it's huge.
You'd think they would learn their lesson with Maxine Waters, because she nearly, very nearly, had it...
screwed up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't just her, as we said. I mean, in response to the judge saying, shut up. Yeah. I mean, Bernie Sanders said something.
Yeah.
You know, the president said something, the leader of the Democratic Party. But I mean, as I say, I've never really had an interest in this case in the sense of I don't really care if Derek Chauvin gets, you know, death penalty, if that's the law.
Yeah.
But the absurdities in the process are just so strange.
I know.
Like, there are a lot of weird things within the trial itself. I mean, the media reporting was the most interesting thing, the fact that they denied one side.
Yeah.
But a BLM activist being the one that's probably going to get him off. God, there really is some mean magic to the whole
thing. The irony of it. anyway, I thought we'd go for the media reactions. So with Daily Mail, pretty sort of standard, basically saying that the guys could jeopardize the entire trial, the entire verdict.
I mean, factual?
Yeah, and then I went to CNN. Their coverage was quite weird. They called it a phony pretext, the fact that he was wearing this T-shirt.
For upsetting the verdict.
Yeah. Further on down, if you go a bit further, the author of this article... a bit further, sorry. Back up. About there, yeah. Give me a break. A black man wearing an MLK T-shirt should not be regarded as some kind of professional revolutionary.
No one said that. Like, you're the one who said that. I mean, I didn't even point out the MLK part, because who cares? That's not the bit that's absurd. The fact that he's saying, get your knee off our necks. I mean, what is that a reference to? That's not a reference to Selma, Alabama or something.
No, it's not.
What are you talking about?
No. I don't think Martin Luther King said that on the steps of the Arkansas school. One of the hallmarks of our nation's Jim Crow system of racial segregation and white supremacy has been the historic exclusion of blacks from serving on integrated juries. I'm not sure what they're talking about in this article.
What's this got to do with Derek Chauvin?
Exactly.
What's this got to do with the juror
that's
obviously a BLM activist?
Yeah.
And you can see it's just obvious cope. It's just like, just grasp at straws.
It is. Anyway, the BBC, they basically decided that Derek Chauvin is a killer now, even though he hasn't been sentenced yet.
The ever neutral BBC.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, this is the irritating part, because they're not entirely wrong in that framing, and I'm going to be fair to them, which is the guy's been convicted, therefore it's justified to say he is the killer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact that it is so highly contested, you would have thought they'd be a bit more...
And on the precedent that there could be another trial.
There's an ongoing
it's
appeal.
It's probably not a good idea to call him a killer.
Mm. The reasons he's asking for the retrial, they probably list, which includes the fact that the jury have been... Well, at least one of the jurors has been shown to be completely tainted.
Yeah.
I mean, just seems wrong to frame it like that.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see how it goes from now. But...
See if he gets it or not, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be really weird if they don't give him the appeal. I mean, just for the sense of to see justice served.
It's the fact that it could potentially be a mistrial, I think. Can you imagine?
Did the law expert explain how likely that was? Or?
No, he didn't, no. But I reckon Eric will probably go for it, because he did call for a mistrial during the sort of the closing arguments, because the defense, the prosecution said some quite leading things. So we'll see.
All right. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to talk about was the 31st Anglo-French War. Looking this up, I thought I was going to call it like the 8th Anglo-French War. I didn't realize how based we were. So apparently we've been at war with France 30 times in our history. Good God. Good God, that's cool. So then there's this one, the one that's being declared currently, is the 31st, by the looks of it. So,
wow.
Yeah, so the first thing I wanted to mention was that the how this came about. So what's happening is that the French have threatened to cut off electricity to Jersey, as Josh reports on lotuseaters.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they have some disputes about fishing licenses or something, because the Norman authority for this, you know, Normandy, has fishing licenses to fish in Jersey's waters, and they're having a dispute because, you know, Brexit, and therefore things change. Yeah. And the French are salty that things have changed. So they say in here, the French government has threatened to cut off electricity to the island of Jersey in retaliation for an ongoing dispute about the fishing rights in Jersey's waters. The dispute emerged after a new licensing system was introduced for French fishing boats by the government of Jersey as part of the UK-EU trade and cooperation agreement. Also, maybe Americans, sorry to call you out, but might not know, we have two islands, that's Jersey and Guernsey, off the French coast that are English. So
yeah.
That's why all of their electricity comes from France, because that's just where they are. So as Josh
they're
points
quite
out...
They're quite far away from the UK.
Yeah, so as Josh points out, it's 95% of all Jersey's electricity comes from France, from undersea cables. So the External Relations Minister for Jersey issued a statement in response to this, saying, "It would seem disproportionate to cut off electricity for the sake of needing to provide extra details so we can refine the licenses." I mean, he's not wrong.
No.
Like, hey, we think your licensing system's a bit wrong. Okay, well, let's have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, how dare you? We're going to cut off the electricity. Screw you. Let your children freeze to death. Okay. Okay, France, being totally normal. So there's another quote in here. So Jersey's is a self-governing crown dependency. The UK Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs issued a statement which said, "We are clear that Jersey is responsible for its own territorial waters." So the idea being that it's their territorial waters. If they want to set the limits for when you can fish, it's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do? Argue with that? That's completely coherent, totally legal, totally makes sense. So what was the French response? The French... The guy from Normandy issued a response saying that this is absolutely unacceptable, where the ships can go and where they can't go. If we accept this for Jersey, we would imperil our access everywhere. Yeah?
Everywhere.
But like, they're asking you, hey, play by our rules in our waters, and you're like, no, we can't accept this. This would screw us over everywhere else. I'm like, well, what are you doing everywhere else? Like, sure, you should be playing by the rules.
Mm.
I don't know what kind of response that is to a statement that you should just respect whatever Jersey wants in their waters. So, in response, a bunch of salty French fishermen decided they would stage a protest, as they called it, outside the port at Jersey. This quickly got pointed out that it kind of looked like a blockade, because they were saying they were going to stop people coming in and out of the port. So if you get the Reuters up, so the Reuters article, they go down and they ask the salty French fishermen why they're so salty and what they're doing. And he's like, well, why are you doing this blockade? And the Frenchman responds with, this is not a blockade. It's not our objective to smash stuff up. Why are you?
But these are the guys with the red smoke.
Yeah, like, why are you forming a huge like crowd around the port then? I mean, kind of looks like a blockade. I don't know what else you'd call that. We're just saying that you're going to stop people going out because you're salty about the fact that, you know, things change.
Mm.
And therefore your licenses have changed and you have no right to these waters. They're not yours. They're Jersey's waters.
So this is French fishermen doing this?
Yeah, French fishermen. Right. So it's not the French government. It's individuals who decide to do this. So as the British, I mean, when the French start saying they're going to blockade ports, the British government have done the right thing and decided to send a few gunboats down there to just keep an eye on things. So the Downing Street has said that these naval vessels are going there to monitor the situation. The operation is also known as Keep an Eye on the Frenchies. So... these are two gunboats that are going to go down there and just stare at them. And if they do anything wrong, I assume, blow them to smithereens as they should.
Mm.
So the response from this is interesting because you see a bunch of like EU files in the UK freaking out. And they're like, how can you do this? How can you dare defend Britain? So there's one guy I just found who summed it up perfectly. So if you get the Adam Toner Radkin status tweet up. So he's a guy complaining about the fact that we're using gunboat diplomacy. Should be the next one, John. No, I think you're missing a link. You've got to go to the gunboat diplomacy section. So this is some like EU Europhile complaining about the whole thing. So get it up just so I can read it because I didn't write the whole thing down. So, is that the wrong tweet? Oh, I put the wrong tweet in there. That's my bad. Okay, anyway, it's some Europhile complaining that we've gone back to gunboat diplomacy and why are we back at the Empire? And it's like, and? like that's a bad thing.
No.
Like, French turn up, blockade your port, so you go down there, send the gunboats.
Yeah.
What are you meant to do?
Send the Royal Marines armed with longbows to the beaches as well, I say.
Yeah. So one of the funny responses is apparently the British have responded by being totally mature and totally standard, which is to say that Macron has small dick energy. So if you get the next thing up, this is Politics for All reporting that a government official has said that French President Emmanuel Macron has small dick energy for being so angry about this. And the reason for saying that was that the French have decided to send warships of their own to go and monitor their fishermen. I love how it's sort of undermining their own protests, like, you guys can't be trusted. So if you get the next link up, this is the French saying that they're going to send two boats. So they've sent two boats out there to also keep an eye on the situation. But who are they keeping an eye on? The island of Jersey?
Mm.
No, they're keeping an eye on the French fishermen. So they're also participating in Operation Keep an Eye on the French.
Yeah.
So good for the French for joining the British.
I think they're scared of their own people at the moment anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, but also the idea that, oh, the British are totally in the wrong for sending warships to keep an eye on them. It's like, yeah, but the French are also doing it. So what's the problem?
Yeah.
Like, no one seems at fault here. Just got to keep an eye on these fishy fishermen. So the responses from the fishy fishermen, or at least their port authority in Normandy, has been perfectly normal as well. So we go to the next one, Disclosed TV. Quote from him, "We are ready for war. We can bring Jersey to its knees." Like, the guy in charge of Normandy is like, yeah, wartime. War. Like, I want to declare war on England. And just I imagine Macron sitting there like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, I've got Islamo leftists to deal with, and you're bringing this stuff up. And like, I want to declare war on some islands because some fishermen are mad about the fact that they can't steal fish. Oh, God. So in response, of course, the hashtag that was trending was War with France, which, yeah, why not, I guess. That's, I couldn't come at a better time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're having a local election today, so a bit of nationalist sentiment. Why not? Of course, if it harms the Labour Party, it's good in my mind, so let's go with that. And it seems some of the guys on the island agree. That this yeah, why not? Let's have a laugh. So this is some reenactor on the island decided to dress up as a militiaman and fire off a musket at the French.
good man.
I just love the idea that he's just some, like, 60-year-old or something, and he's just like, yeah, so fuck up, Frenchie. Death to Napoleon. God damn musket.
It's quite interesting that France is on the, well, it seems to be on the brink of revolution, and they're trying to take pot shots at us.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's more just a local thing.
Yeah.
Like, the locals are pissed off, but the fact that they're
this thing is quite poetic.
The guy in charge of Normandy is backing them up with, "We'll declare war on England."
Yeah.
Will you now? But the only other thing that I've seen there, which was kind of interesting, was if you can go to the next link, which is the government have had a couple of leaks out of this. So if you don't know, when the Germans took France over, they also took the islands, and it's a weird, like, parallel world you can look back into. The Germans conquered
England. They built a load of fortifications there.
Yeah, but it's an example of, if the Germans conquered England, what would it look like?
Right.
What would Nazi Britain look like?
Yeah.
In which the police turn into agents of the state. I think they stole some Jews from there and killed them as well. Germans.
I think they had quite a lot of Jewish slaves on Jersey.
Did they?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the government source here who was talking about the whole thing is quoted as saying, "At least when the Germans invaded, they kept the lights on." Because, of course, the French are trying to get rid of the electricity. And I just think the whole thing's really funny.
Like,
I don't think this is going to go anywhere. They'll have their stupid protest. They'll be salty about it, as they always are.
Yeah.
And then they'll be told, "No, this is the law. Sod off. We're not the French government. We're not going to buckle to you." And then they'll go home, they'll renegotiate the licenses, and the warships will go home. I don't think this is going to turn into a full-scale war.
No, like, no.
God, it's weird that they want it to. Like, the Normans saying, "We're ready to declare war on Jersey. We're going to take it. Like, we're going to storm the beaches, lads," or something.
It would be interesting to see who would win in a naval war between...
I've seen... there's a guy called Binkov who does...
Yeah, I know.
You know him, yeah. He did a few examples of Britain versus France. If there's no nukes, no one wins. If there's nukes, everyone loses.
Yeah,
because that's how that works.
But because I think we're pretty much equally matched.
Yeah, but because we're more densely populated, if a bunch of nukes go off here, it's worse for us. At least than the Frenchies, but probably survive nuclear radiation, damn frogs. So one of the things we did an episode with Baudet in which we did a bit of a white pill, and you know, I felt like we might as well end this on a bit of a white pill.
Right.
I mean, if war with France isn't a white pill enough, I don't know what's wrong with you, but. In case you want it, let's go to the jet suits. So this is something I found people posting in response, like, "Let's just get the jet suits and go down there." I didn't know this was real. Like this is a thing that was invented a few years ago. So
I've seen these things.
If we can play clip three just to demonstrate what these are. People who are listening, and so he's taking off from these boats behind a Royal Navy warship, and he just like floats
like an
off.
Like Iron Man suit.
Yeah, like a little Iron Man suit. Yeah.
Do you think they're actually training these guys? Let's do this.
What do you mean?
Then.
Yeah, I mean this was posted on the Twitter page. So the idea is, essentially, this is for, like, pirate vessels.
Ah, right. So.
I mean, how cool is that?
There's a similar video. I don't know if you've seen it. It's another Royal Navy guy. And I think they're somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico. And he goes up alongside this like American diplomatic ship. They got this big party going on. It's just a British guy like zooming around this like boat with all these American senators and things on. It's quite funny.
What, in a gravity suit?
Yeah.
So I didn't know anything about these. So I decided to look up the company and whatnot. I assumed like some American company made these, and then you know we brought a few or something. Right. It turns out apparently not. So the founder of the company is a British ex Royal Marine reservist. So he used to be in the Royal Marines. As a reservist, and then was like, "Hey, this would be interesting." So he decided to invent these jet suits, and then he's selling them to the British military. Yeah, apparently you can buy them on the website. At least you can apply to buy one because it's like a luxury product. So you know, like Porsche or something, you apply and then maybe you get it because they're difficult. But also, he's based his company in Salisbury, which is just like
Salisbury.
Yeah, it's just cute. Like I like it. Yeah. Like, this little historic
not too far from us.
City. For people who may be foreign, you most likely know it for the poisoning. So the
Novichok,
Russian
the
Russian tourists. We are here to see the Salisbury Spire. Okay. Exactly 150 meter tall. We are here to see this. you clearly just poisoned these guys, but whatever. So that's that. And I just think it's really nice. Like, hey, we don't do enough white pills, so I mean, why not?
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Be interesting to see if they're using combat or.
Yeah. So I see John's just loaded up a story here. So apparently the situation, because it's developing as we do this podcast. So a French trawler has decided to ram a UK boat and then chased off as the standoff in the channel gets worse.
Chased off isn't particularly.
I don't know. Does it say
out of ordinary for French though, is it?
It tried to ram the British warship, or did it just try to ram some British fisherman ship? It's a fishing ship. Okay. So the French salty fishermen have decided to start ramming British fishermen who tried to leave. So, I mean, that's a blockade. What else do you call that? Are they just trying to stop people from leaving? In which case, Royal Navy, do your duty. Load shells. Get rid of them.
Warning shots over the bow.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But I do wonder, I see some people have been saying, like, how's this going to affect the local elections? Because it's, you know, obviously nationalistic and whatnot. I mean, I don't know if it'll have much impact, but I mean, couldn't come at a better timing anyway.
Mm.
Anyway, so that's all from us. So let's go to the video comments so we can see them.
A service guaranteed citizenship when service becomes as diluted as citizenship has.
If service guarantees citizenship, wouldn't service become as diluted as citizenship has? Not really, because we have no real world examples of this that I'm aware of people actually trying Heinleinian democracy.
Mm.
But in the book, for example, there's when Rico goes for his admission, he's talking to the people who do the whole thing. And he's like, hey, why doesn't everyone just sign up? And he's like, well, no, because it's extremely hard. Like, we make it really hard on purpose.
Yeah.
And if you come in here, for example, as someone who clearly can't be in the mobile infantry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw people pointing out those jet suits. That's the real version of the mobile infantry.
Yeah.
It's meant to be these power armor suits that you can just jump off.
Yeah.
If you're not able to do that, if you're not physically capable, we'll come up with any old job that'll be the most disgusting, most grueling thing you've ever done.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you earn your citizenship, sure, because everyone has the right to try, but you will remember that you earned it.
Yeah.
And we will do everything in our power to make sure you don't want to be there and you want to quit so that when you get it, you really, really earned it.
Mm.
So if it was service guaranteed citizenship in the Heinleinian sense, and it was the same parameters of the book, It wouldn't become diluted because it was just made extremely hard to get to keep it a franchise worth, you know, having.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let's go to the next one.
Do 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 do. Dr. Fauci,
I hate you.
Give us vaccines. Help all the people who have been quarantined. We'll wear our masks and we'll have to stay distant. We'll wash our hands and we'll be more resistant.
Oh, God.
Callum, I know you usually enjoy these. I'm sorry, man.
Now, that one's been stuck in my head for days. Like, I'm sort of in my mind, like, you know what? Let's just chant that at the pub or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so bad. It's one of those things that is so bad, it's almost good.
Yeah.
Like, as a way of making fun of all the vaccine Nazis, just starts chanting that song. Like, this is how you look. Anyway. So, let's go for the next one.
Hi, guys. Do you know what? I sometimes feel as if, you know, my worldview is kind of warped by what I watch, right? So, I sometimes kind of think, oh, I'm in my bubble. Maybe it's not as bad as I think. And then a story comes out about the CIA putting out that advert they put out the other day, or MI5 literally hiring on the basis of race, and then I'm like, oh, actually I'm not the insane one. So there you go. As well, thanks for keeping everybody sane throughout the winter lockdown here. That was quite horrible, but your weekday show really helped. So thanks very much.
Well, thanks for the compliment, man. But you are right. We do really live in the clown hell world.
Is it? Yeah.
It's not fake.
I think there's a growing number of people though that sort of feel the same way. Like nothing's adding up anymore. And I think I'm more optimistic than some. I think
one of the things I don't get is like take the MI5 summer diversity internship or as he says that CIA effort. Like they're so absurd on the face of it. Like I could show that to any boomer I could think of who pays no attention to politics, and they would just stare at it and be like, what? Like, why would they do that?
Yeah.
In which case, I don't understand how the people in these institutions don't lose their minds or are at least able to see how disgusting and awful this stuff is.
It's a strange phenomenon. I think it's just the metropolitan culture. I think they must be so saturated in all of it.
Well, there's no one who dissents.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, I think it's fear as well.
Yeah. I did get sent, there's a friend of ours who I have on Discord who works in the civil service, so I won't mention his name, but he messaged me about something the other day, and he made the point that literally everyone in the civil service, for example, and by extension everyone in government management, will be playing the woke game to some extent, because it just is the ideology of the state at this point.
Yeah.
It's the politically correct view,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it's horrible, but you are playing that game where you've got to try and get to the top. Because that's what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to get the promotion to go up, in which case you've got to fight to get there. And if you just out yourself immediately as not a wokist, it might harm your
Well, I suppose when you get to the top, seriously, you can actually start making a difference. But if you're just a lowly grunt, then...
Yeah. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine who works in a... I'm not going to mention where, actually. He works in a car company, let's say that.
Right.
And he has the same problem where he's just like... He's sitting in the room and everyone is spouting off some nonsense. And he's just like, am I going mad? I'm like, what is going on? And we said to him, well, why don't you say something? And he's like, look, mate, I controlled nothing. So even if I was to, make a big fuss, I don't get any promotion. And therefore, there's nothing to be gained from it. In fact, I might lose my job. And then where am I? And I'm like, okay.
So
I can see their point of view, at least. That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to the next video.
Check this out.
I asked the legislature in this legislative session, we need to do bonuses for law enforcement. Someone defund. Someone to defund the police. We're funding the police and then some.
Based through a governor. Real like where this is going. Brighter things ahead.
Based man is the most based man. Like, I love that because we were chatting about this, me and Carl. I don't know if it was on the show or after the show. But you know the whole Florida man meme? Like Florida man, is found with 50 stacks of meth or something. Like he's, but the joke is partly like the Florida man is a single man and he's done all of these things and therefore...
He's like the Bigfoot.
Yeah, but I sort of like the redemption arc. Like Florida man has been seen, running naked with alligators. he's been dealing meth. He punched a, you know, like a 50 people to death or something. And now he's the most based man running for president.
Yeah.
Like, I love it if Ron DeSantis does run and just every headline is like, Florida man.
Like, President Florida man.
Yeah. Anyway. That is good as well.
In spite of the fact that Pulkia Alexandrovna was now 43, her face still retained the traces of her former beauty, and indeed she looked much younger than her years, something that nearly always happens to women who keep the lucidity of their spirit, the freshness of their perceptions, and an honest, pure warmth of heart until old age. This is from Crime and Punishment from Dostoevsky. A condemnation of nihilism, and it's very much true. If you wish to remain beautiful, then don't be nihilistic.
Not that I disagree with that.
Mm.
I don't know what meant to say in response. Based Dostoevsky, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go for the next one.
Hi guys, I've just been on the BBC, and aside from finding out that black people making their own choices is racist, I also found this article about the troubles in Sweden. Now, they've got this graph that shows the sexual assaults against women with this dramatic rise since 2014 and then trailing off at 2017. If we compare that to Sweden's immigration statistics, we'll also see that that has been rising since 2014 and trailing off since 2017. Could these two things be related? Well, the Swedish Gender and Equalities Minister says no. But wait, there's more. When Nigel Farage says that Sweden had become the rape capital of Europe due to migrants, the BBC did a fact-check article where they said that the sexual offence figures peaked in 2014 and actually went down in 2015 when they took in more migrants and asylum seekers. But BBC, these are... It's not true.
Mate, send us that video. All right, I want to upload that to just like social media. Like, I love some of the stuff we get sent in these video comments. It's so good. Like that one as well. I just want to show people that and be like, come on, look at the numbers. Look at the... Oh, better argument than I can, but good. Anyway,
BBC's unbelievable.
But I can't get over how obvious it is with Sweden as well. Like everyone who goes to Sweden seems to come back with the same story, which is, there's a lot of bad stuff there. And the bad stuff...
Some Swedish people in denial about it.
Yeah,
it's just part and parcel.
But I get, I mean, I don't, I haven't been to Sweden. I really want to. I've never got around to it. But what I get told is like, it's a similar thing with, say, France. You've got the people who live in central Paris and they think everything's lovely and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then you've got the suburbs, and the suburbs is where they send all the migrants they import so they can be virtuous. And it's like, why don't you go live there then? There was one thing, I don't know who did this, so I'm not endorsing the group that did it, but they brought like a truck, put loads of speakers on it, and then went to like this really rich neighborhood in Stockholm and just started blasting the call to prayer at 6 a.m. <Jesus. laughs> Wake up, it's time for diversity.
Wow.
You had these neighbors be like, what are you doing? It's like, well, you voted for it. Oh, boy. Anyway, let's go to the comment section. So on the CIA spooks. So Chad Koala says, I'll believe the feds and the woke aren't on the same side when the feds crack down on people burning down cities. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Although that does give a new dimension to it, actually, because you remember seeing like some of these like random people with like hoodies walking around lighting the fires inside, and people saying they were feds. I do wonder.
Well, I heard rumors that even the wildfires in California were either Antifa or feds, and they were doing it to sort of try and start some sort of war or something.
Huh. So even, I have no idea about that, but none of this is fact, by the way.
No.
YouTube. just thinking aloud, how dare I? So Brad P says, if the RAF wants total inclusivity, such a like Juche term, what's their argument for keeping out ISIS? Yeah, why no Russian F-35 type pilots? Why no Chinese spies in the AWACS? Don't be racist, let them in. Yeah,
probably Chinese spies already there.
So that's one thing. But they have got total inclusivity. They just don't know it yet. Peter, long name. Imagine having the balls to dislike a CIA YouTube video. Yeah, that's a good point. Everyone's getting on a watch list. Nobody's flying anymore. Everyone's on the no-fly list. Radical centrist god. Just look at the first bits of the source for each talking point, and oh my god, our lads are becoming storm boys. Warg! We're gonna crump everything from disguise. Now we just need to paint it red and it'll go faster. Daka, 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 daka. Okay. I'm assuming you're talking about the RAF there. I mean, what happens if you walk in? Because they were like, here's a bunch of made up pronouns, obviously, like the Zipa, Ghibli, or whatever the hell else. Like, why can't you just walk in and just be like, yeah, my pronouns are Orc and Orc? You know, His Majesty and whatnot. I mean, what are they going to do?
Flight Lieutenant Orc.
It is their job to accept total inclusivity.
Mm.
The Greenskins need their position. Anyway. Henry Ashman. Nice to see Macron is a true tin pot dictator. Trouble at home. General's getting shirty. Best start a fight with a foreign power to distract everyone. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like him, to be honest. It seems like it's the local people causing a mess. I mean, it might be some backroom dealings. Every time Argentina kick off about the Falklands or Spain about Gibraltar, it's because they're flat broke and everything has gone wrong at home. That's certainly true.
Mm.
I mean, it's like, oh, we'll get back the Falklands. It's like, yeah, you've done this. Like, no one cares. It's obviously just because you're broke. Dylan Tucker. Here at the CIA, we pride ourselves on talking... Sorry. Here at the CIA, we pride ourselves on taking people hailing from all over the world, training them and using them to destabilize their home countries in a diverse and inclusive way. Yeah, I do wonder, you remember those $10 million that were spent on Pakistani gender programs?
Yeah.
What if that's CIA money? What if it's 4D chess and they're actually recruiting wokists to send them to Pakistan? And then when the whole civilization is effed over there, they'll stop bombing everyone else.
It's interesting, isn't it?
I mean, I'd fund it. I mean, that would actually be a justification for the $10 million. I mean, go for it.
Yeah.
Also, it just bothers me that they keep saying, at CIA, we... It's grammatically incorrect. It's the CIA, not just CIA. That's... I don't know if it's true or not that you're meant to say it one way or another. In every video I saw, they kept saying, at CIA. Like, but it's at Central Intelligence Agency, which does sound weird.
Yeah.
Surely you'd say at the...
I think it'd be Central the... Intelligence. Yeah.
Matthew Hammond. Maybe we need to defund the national security apparatus in the US, and maybe Britain too, to be honest, if they have enough resources to push woke ideology amongst their ranks. Sure. I mean, there's the thing. You don't have to defund the whole organization.
No.
But you can take the HR or whatever the hell they're in the military.
Just take
just be like, you're fired.
Take anyone with a sociology degree out of that.
Yeah, but just don't hire for them, because they get paid tons of money just in their salaries. Yeah. Never mind the time they waste. Yeah. So, MEP Fireboy, I think we should all get ourselves to pull... harbour after the stream, commandeer a few boats, and go out all A-team at them and hunt down the froggies. Rule the waves again. I mean, not a bad idea.
Be like Dunkirk.
Yeah, like Dunkirk style. We're going to liberate Jersey or whatever from the French menace. I mean, what are the government going to do? Like, are the French warships going to start blowing us up if we try and sail over to Jersey?
Right. Just go out there, right? Air rifles and...
Like, anyone who's listening, who's in a boat in Southampton or Portsmouth or whatever, and has got a free day, go for it. Henry Ashman. I wonder if Biden's administration is encouraging the military to be so woke that they can spend a fortune on widening the tank hatches, strengthening submarine bulkheads, and getting more powerful aircraft guns, sorry, more powerful aircraft engines fitted to accommodate the fatties. Yeah. The contracts on the tubby tanks and the pedo planes and the slacker subs will probably net the big guy a nice 10% cut. But it is true. I see... Like, the US military standards for, like, fitness seem terrible. And then you see some of their soldiers sometimes, and you're just like...
Well, Biden got rid of the... there was definitions you had to have. Basically, Trump got rid of the male-female divide, didn't he?
He's just like, this is the standard. Yeah. Don't care if you're a man or woman. You've got to
Biden's now, like scaled that back again. Yeah. So...
But also just American standards in general. I mean, of course, I'm no bulking guy or anything, but I look at some pictures of American guys in uniform, and then some of them...
I think it's a lot more difficult than
quite
it is here.
Large.
Yeah. A lot less difficult, sorry.
I could certainly get 10, but I'd love the idea of the tubby tanks. at least it's not as bad as the pregnant women tanks in Germany. Like, you know about that?
Yeah.
So we went over to the AFD, and they were telling us that their minister had spent a load of money and complained that the German military tanks weren't wide enough and not comfortable enough for a pregnant woman. Like, why would you put pregnant women in a tank and send them to war, you moron?
Crazy.
Yeah. So Chet Christholm. Hey Callum, you mentioned in a previous episode that you weren't totally convinced of Chauvin's non-innocence in the Floyd death. Is there anything in particular presented in the trial that makes you feel this way? I've worked the last 10 years as a paramedic, so I may be able to help shed some further light on some of the evidence that was presented at the trial. I upgraded to gold, so I will start going through it next week. give a few quick lessons on cardiology, and most importantly, to point out where Dr. Tobin lied in his testimony. Hopefully this will help you prep.
Lied?
Yeah, apparently you lied. Hopefully this will help you prep as we get ready to do this whole trial all over again. Oh, God, yeah. If they do get an appeal, we're going to have to cover the whole goddamn thing again.
Well, I'd be interesting to see that.
Also, did you see, I assume it's Games Workshop, previewed new models for the Tanith Thirst and Only Yesterday? I don't know what Tanith Thirst faction is. Like, I don't know which race that is. To be honest, I don't pay too much attention to Games Workshop. What convinced me that he wasn't entirely innocent? So, the homicide charges seemed complete bunk. There was no question of that. They seemed
pointless. Well, homicide is defined differently in law.
Yeah, it was... It was unintentional homicide as well. Yeah. That's one of the things I see people get.
It doesn't have to be an actual murder to be a homicide.
Yeah. So, but the arguments there for the standard seemed way too high. Manslaughter, because it was the case of, like, I thought, looking at it, there's an argument to be made. I mean, if I was on the jury, I probably would have said there's reasonable doubt about the whole thing because of the drug.
Yeah.
And the fact that he took so much fentanyl.
Yeah.
Kind of worsens the whole thing. And I probably would have voted not guilty just on, look, I'd rather let him go free than put an innocent man in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
But on the manslaughter charge, I can see a reasonable argument, and I can see that people can see that as being true.
I'd agree. I'd say even third degree, potentially, could have been justified. I don't think second degree. The main
thing for me is, as he asked, was actually Dr. Tobin's testimony. So if he has been lying a bunch, please send us some video comments and tell us where he lied. Yeah. Because, again, we're not experts.
The main point of contention in the whole case was between Tobin and the other, I can't remember what his name was, the other physician. But basically, they both agreed that he had a cardiac arrest, but it was the mechanism they disagreed on.
Yeah.
So Tobin was saying it was Chauvin's knee. The other guy was saying it was
a combination of health, it's the drugs, blah, blah, blah. All of these make things worse. Yeah. And, I mean, that's a good argument.
Yeah, yeah.
It's enough to put reasonable doubt in your head, surely.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not. Apparently, threat from BLM gets rid of those dirty thoughts. Anyway, Henry Ashman, that juror has just torched the entirety of Minnesota with his activism. BLM are going to kick the F off when the appeal gets upheld. There's him, the senator, and Biden, who are actively getting involved. Then there's the woman juror who had to drive home through the Dante White protest. That's something, yeah. How could they not know what was going on if they're driving through the mob? Totally true. I mean, it's another point I imagine Nelson has brought up, which is one of the jurors lived in where the Dante White protests were taking place. I mean, burning things is a protest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's... God, I'd love to interview him afterwards and be like, hey, so now all this stuff is burnt down. How do you feel? Now that he's been that free, how do you feel?
I was doing my bit.
Maybe he wants the riots, I guess. It'd be good for his podcast.
Yeah.
So on Macron's small member energy, Craig Gorman, just to say that the French can bring it anytime they want. I personally have been preparing since they tried to teach me French in high school. This comment was sponsored by Mr. Kipling. Yeah. Should we start doing bread sponsorships once Carl's gone? But I did see there were a couple of comments underneath the article Josh wrote about the electricity situation, and there were some people who said they were from the island. They were just like, bring it, we'll shoot them down.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them is the guy with the musket. If you're watching Guy with a Musket, good job. That was great. Harry Geeman. Here we go, boys. Get ready to fight for the glory of the British Empire. Hoorah! James Lee. How many times do we need to sink a French fleet before they get the message? Once more, my dear friends.
Yeah. Do it again.
Sugar Supremacist. Oh, man. Just when we started to like the base French, they had to start a war with us. Any chance the new generals can take our side? God, I hope so. Yeah.
They won't.
Come on. We can agree on Islamo-leftism. That's, I see what Carl meant by the anti-baguette propaganda now. Yeah. Tyler Williamson. You see, baguettes are the food of the enemy now. The keto prophecy is unfolding. No, I didn't touch the baguettes. Josh got the baguette. I got a nice English loaf. Josh is just like, I'm regretting getting a baguette now. Joseph Woodland. And to think, France haven't got their new aircraft carriers or planes yet. Their rifle is better than CQC than ours, though. To put this into perspective, if this heats up, as horrible as it would be, we would likely see the solution to the problem such as cold fusion harnessing lattice. Problems such as a cold fusion harnessing lattice, the faster integration of the FIST Future Soldier program, and the medical gains we are on the cusp of. Gotta look on the bright side, as though it may seem dark. mean, yeah, that's not a bad point. I mean, if we do have a war, there's always technological development.
Yeah.
And we're not having one right now, so make it go faster.
Mm-hmm.
More war, more faster. Paint the scientists red. Yenis Ye Muluk. If the frog fishermen want to keep waving their baguettes and blockade one of our islands, then, of course, the reasonable response is to start patrolling our waters and maybe go back to the good old days of having our monarchy invade France for the tradition's sake. Yeah, we'd like to see the... What's his name? I'm forgetting the guy now. But Prince William? The one who's not a traitor?
Yeah.
Give him a sword. Go on, dress him up. Send him over.
Well, I mean, Mad Jack, didn't they, in the war?
Yeah.
The Scottish man who charged him.
One of the funny things as well is I learned that one of the tradition... Well, it wasn't much of a tradition, but... I think it was Henry VIII decided he wanted to celebrate peace between England and France. And the way he celebrated it was he challenged the French king to a boxing match. And then they went over and had this boxing match. But I just love the idea that you could do that. Like, let's challenge Macron, like, you know, Boris versus Macron.
Who would win?
Yeah.
Who do you think would win?
Boris.
Boris.
Boris. Yeah, Macron's probably not good at boxing.
No.
Gordon of Khartoum. Musket Man isn't the hero we need, but he's the hero we want. He's the hero we deserve. Alistair Crowley. Britain, Mufish, sends out the warships. Illegals coming through the... Coming... No, I don't think I could say that part. Illegals coming through to Britain. Britain, nothing to see here, all else. Yeah, that's true. I don't know why we don't send out the warships to the small fishing vessels trying to blockade Dover. So, someone here calling it Operation Frog Watch. Yeah. Maybe we should make a video like a jingle. Operation Frog Watch. What the frog's up to now.
Yeah.
So general questions. I got to take a drink. Any birthday wishes for Tony Blair? Thanks and enjoy all the bread.
I hope you die. It's my one.
I don't know. I really hope he just sets up a new party that's just like death to everything I've done.
Mm.
And he just goes around campaigning about the Supreme Court was terrible, mass immigration is terrible, millions of Muslims are incompatible with the West, Tony Blair's words, not mine, YouTube. You know, and just goes around and keeps saying this. Because he's doing a good job on that front, at least, but God, it's embarrassing that it's now, not 1997. Alex Ogle. As we learned from the Second World War, there were three socialisms fought each other. Fascism is socialism of the state, communism is socialism of the classes, and Nazism is socialism of the race. What would be the one for socialism of the gender? We could wait for someone on the woke side to coin the term, but the real term of today's socialism is intersectionalism, the socialism of feelings about immutable characteristics. By the way, it doesn't matter how you pronounce my name, just say what you say with confidence so it doesn't sound like you second-guess yourself. I'm not going to get offended. Okay, Eli Krugel. So, calling it intersectionalism, I mean, we've had this debate in the office, which is, do you call them wokist, intersectionalist, neo-Marxist, which I'm a fan of. Hugo came up with that one, which is... I do like intersectionalism, just call them that.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, we all know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the race and gender communists who do this sort of thing. I mean, they want to redistribute everything. I suppose you could say, actually, yeah, the Nazis are the race communists. Yeah, that's true. Redistribute all the land, but...
We're having a big debate about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Some people think the Nazis were right-wing, some don't. Some think they were socialists, some don't.
Obviously socialists.
That's what I think.
Josh took the opposing view that the Soviet Union was right-wing, which... Brittany Johns. So this is 100% off-topic, but I'm going to say it anyway. So I know the different countries view us Americans with certain stereotypes, especially when it comes to women. I've always wanted to know what some of those may be. So stereotypes of American women. Because I promise you we're not all like that. Those next questions are specifically for Callum. Are you single and would you ever go on a date with an American girl like myself? I am much more intelligent than my counterparts, I swear. If you're intelligent, sure. It's the dumb Americans that everyone wants to gouge their eyes out at.
Yeah.
Is Europe a country? Get in the gulag. Just can't be dealing with that. Antifa just means anti-fascist. Get in the gulag. What about you? What do you think? Stereotypical American women.
Squeaking.
Squeaking.
Whiny.
Is that not just women?
What we call Karen here.
I thought it was women. Like,
I don't know.
I mean, it's the accent, really. I don't know. There's something weird about the Yankee accent on women.
It's a nasally. Especially. It's a nasally part, I think. Like AOC.
Like, you think the British would sound more nasally than the Americans, but
yeah,
maybe we do to them. But let us know, I suppose.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, but intelligent people, really. I don't want to deal with... When I say intelligent, I just mean not dumb. That's really it.
Vacuous.
Yeah. Jonathan Crowe. The BBC keeps scaremongering and peddling how bad the pandemic in India is still. So let's look at this realistically and relatively. India's population is 1.366 billion. COVID-19 cases are currently at 21.1 million. Deaths at 230,000. Therefore, at this scale, the pandemic in India, cases are equivalent to 1.545% of the population. Deaths are equivalent to 0.017% of the population. Worldwide, there has been 3.24 million deaths from COVID-19, assuming reported figures are accurate. So far, India's deaths, 230K, accounts for 7.099% of all recorded deaths in the world. For further comparison, in 2018, India's population was 1.3 billion, with roughly 9.7 million deaths estimated for that year. Perspective is important. Yeah, so I mean, what are they, like, there must be at least like 10% of the world's population with a billion odd people, and then 4% of the deaths from COVID. But it's also, I did see, if you compare it to Britain, so per capita, how many cases have they got, and per capita, how many deaths? I can't remember off the top of my head. It's probably changed a little bit now.
Mm.
But like, their death rate needs to increase by like 10% before they get to our peak.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not denying that it's a problem and all that, but it does seem that there's a lot of worry when it doesn't seem proportionate per capita. But again, I don't know nothing about COVID. That's why I don't usually talk about it. So... is that a Spanish name? Callum, I decree that you have committed a sin of racismus. How dare you think my Spanish name is Mexican, you bigot, because you're all Castilians and you know it. Getting serious again, I understand your weariness of the party Vox, but they are real conservatives and patriots in Spain. For you to understand, they are basically the Spanish version of the North FC meme, based. PP is basically, yeah, I'm a conservative party most of the time. Yeah, I imagine that's how it was. I mean... again, it's difficult to gauge with foreign parties, but there always seems to be the, yeah, I'm a conservatives, and then there's the party that's, you know, the dissident right there, and they're actual conservatives, traditionalists, usually.
Yeah.
But with Vox, I mean, like, we don't have any territorial disputes with Poland, for example. So, like, when we met Corvus Mikke and his Confederacja party, like, those guys, I mean, Poland's a you know, different world in politics, but they seem... kind of cool, but we don't have any like debates about, oh, you need to return Gdansk to Poland or something. Yeah. Where with Vox, they want Gibraltar back, and it ain't happening. Never happening. I don't know why they think that's ever happening. I mean, are you guys ever going to return?
Get the French fishermen to go and help them out.
Again, return. What do you mean return? Just because it's geographically next to Spain, it belongs to Spain. Like, how does that work? Like, all the people there are English in the same way that the, what is it, Ceuta and whatever the other one is in Morocco. Like, they're all Spaniards.
If you want it, fair and square, and you should keep it.
You should have won. That's exactly what you should have done. But you lost the war.
It was given to us in a treaty anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like the War of Spanish Succession or something. Yeah. We landed with the Dutch and then we took it.
Yeah.
Dutch don't get nothing. Or I think they got something. I don't know. Who cares? Homosexuality and dope smoking, by the looks of it. It's a joke. Reese, I voted today in the Scottish elections. Went for the Conservatives. I didn't have many local choices. And the Scottish Libertarian Party. Thank you. If you're from Scotland, I recommend voting. Hopefully we'll reduce the SNP's choke on Scottish democracy. Hold your laughter. Yeah, I... Good God, I don't know what to do with Scotland. I mean, we mentioned it before. The more I think about it, and I hate to be this way, but if the majority of the Scottish population keep voting SNP,
yeah, I know.
And you want independence, you're going to have to deal with the National Socialists, and we'll be down in England, where the left will never form a government again.
I think what you say is... what they call a brain drain. You'll have all the educated, more wealthy Scots just come down here.
Sensible and, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Because who wants to deal with the SNP?
So. Yeah.
Apparently the Scottish public, which, oh man, I can't get over it. But thank you for voting for Danculus Party. That's always great to hear. Because thanks, Gunnar. Good job. He's a good boy. Andy D. Off topic. Today, I had a 30-day Facebook ban for something I posted 18 months ago. That's back, sorry. 18 months ago, that back then was spicy, but still was within the Overton window. This begs the question, at what point does your history make you unpunishable because of a moving goalpost? If everything is haram in 18 months, surely this can be sustained. Surely this can't be sustained. And should we have recourse against the media companies? Yeah, I mean, you look at the post from like 2003. There's the stuff in there talking about Islam that couldn't be posted these days. I mean, the funniest example, as I've mentioned before, was John when he had his profile picture with British Voldemort and then, like, you know, silhouetted him out. I think, I remember now, he put in the little teeth so you can see his teeth because they're all fake because he's had them all bludgeoned out of him. But there is no recourse. That's true.
Yeah.
Is there any way you can counter that? Not really. It's just things change, I guess. It just sucks that the internet's forever. Henry Ashman, on the jet suits thing. They're using them in the Lake District to allow mountain rescue and paramedics to help climbers or hikers in trouble. Cuts the response time from 30 minutes to 90 seconds. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's an amazing invention.
They've come out of nowhere, these things.
Like, I read the Wikipedia page on it. They were apparently invented in, like, 2016, like, the company formed, and then in 2018 they were, you know, done. But, good God, like, I didn't think I'd ever see that.
No.
It's awesome. Mm. I don't know how long they last. I imagine they have, like, you know, 90 seconds, 2 minutes or something, and they're out of power.
Yeah.
Douglas Fraser. As cool as the mobile infantry sounds, I'm not sure how practical those jet suits would be in combat. Like, how are the soldiers supposed to protect themselves from bullets while they're in the air? That's true.
This is when you said about pirates. I can't imagine someone just flying past because it's just be sitting duck ready.
My understanding is because it would be a huge tanker, the idea is you're meant to get on there to throw the ladder down.
Oh, a tanker. I thought you meant little thingies.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't show it, John. Don't know because we're dead. So you would have the huge tanker and one guy would jump on with the jet and then he would throw a ladder over
and then
he would jump back off and get into a boat so he's not shot, presumably. That's kosher. Pretty sure that isn't that the one that got you the ban?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, so let's go to the next question. Andy Johns, an idea. Feds are overly populated with wokus equals late Roman army overly populated with barbarians. Your thoughts? True.
Yeah. I don't know about the barbarians. I'd say more just the self-indulgent hedonists of the late Roman Empire.
Yeah.
That sort of brung that brought their own demise in it.
I don't like comparing everything to Rome. It seems more it's like if Cold War America decided to starve everyone with communists at the top.
Yeah.
So, Joseph Woodland. One of the traditions we have kept is the bayonet charge. There is nothing quite like watching an Iraq war tape where you hear fix bayonets and watching loads of terrorists leg it out of their trenches. Turns out it's pretty universally understood. I do love the bayonet charge.
So I've got a factoid that's quite upsetting, really. The last bayonet charge was by a French unit.
Like a proper...
Yeah, I think it was in Algeria in 96. Yeah, a proper charge.
In which there's hundreds of men doing it.
Yeah.
I imagine there are still, like, you know, your squad does a bayonet charge.
Yeah.
That happens in war. But yeah, there is nothing more terrifying. I remember watching a Korean War documentary about this as well. So the guys they were interviewing were Americans. And the Chinese had invaded, so they sit down in the trenches and they just gun them down. Mm. And they couldn't get over how many they were gunning down. And apparently the other side, they heard word that the other side were upset with the Americans and considered them not real soldiers because they wouldn't do bayonet charges and things like this. They'd just call in an airstrike and bomb them all. And this the American guy they were interviewing was like, right, next assault we're doing a bayonet charge then. And he got his whole unit to be like, right, fits bayonets, and they ran out. And apparently the Chinese were so, surprised that they actually did a bayonet charge. They all ran away. So it worked out, which is good to hear. So, complex name again. Don't worry, Callum. I don't give an S about Gibraltar. Thank you. Because, I mean, you can keep the Spanish things in Morocco as well. What I do care about is getting relations down there better and maybe patrol the waters from surprise immigrants. And if we become more, even more based, bully the rest of Europe with our Strait of Supremacy.
Mm.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, that would be a good thing to see. Sharon Chamberlain, Yankee accents. That's probably comical to Americans as some of us cannot understand some regional accents. We're a pretty big place. It's a fun game to pull up videos and try and decipher what they're saying. That's true. There are a lot of regional accents in the US, but there is a general Yankee tone to all of them. And when I say Yankee, it's just British.
There is that little tiny enclave of English-sounding people, isn't there?
Yeah, what is
up
that?
Near New York.
Is it New England or
New England, yeah. It's like they've basically not changed in 200, 300 years.
Yeah, I met an American friend. He really wanted to take me out there and just see the interaction.
Yeah.
To listen to them. It must be really cool. Anyway, she continues. I've never subbed to the content site before. I enjoy your cast stuff usually, as I live in Portland. Oh, good God, I'm sorry. And I'm just getting off the porch and putting my rifle away when he won. So we're on 1 o'clock every workday here on the website. But I'm sad to hear you live in Portland. Good luck living with that. I mean, tell us. I mean, if you see stuff, just send us it. Because I've done multiple videos talking about Portland at this point, and I just can't believe that that's reality.
Yeah.
In an American city. Yeah. Awful.
Mm.
We have a comment from, what is this, Rubble? Yay. So, Odyssey, sorry. Bagface, I'm officially declaring for conscription if war does break out. I'll never get the opportunity to fight the French in my lifetime. Yeah, there's something glorious about that.
I think you just have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you were going to war with France. Yeah, sure. You could say the next generation, you know, you'll never know what it's like to bayonet charge the French.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I will. Joseph Woodland, here's an Empire white pill. Mali has asked the British Army to be the sole foreign military base to have camps in their country. Huh, that's weird. Mali's a French colony, isn't it? It used to be.
I think so, yeah.
Like, they speak French, so that they want the British there. Okay.
There's still quite a lot of ex-colonies that sort of want the British back. I think Jamaica voted like 70% would rejoin the Empire.
Yeah. I thought the best example I've ever seen was, it might have been in one of those books on China.
Right.
But it was in Robert Conquest's book on the 20th century, but there was a meeting in China to discuss international communism and so forth. And they had delegates from every world government that they could get their hands on. Most people didn't want to go in the West, obviously. But the Fijian government sent a delegate, and the Fijian government delegate got there, and they were discussing how bad the empire was and the damn imperialists and all this. And the Fijian guy got really upset about this.
Yeah.
It was his time to speak, and he spoke and he said, actually, I mean, one of the criticisms we had of the British is they didn't govern us more. I was like, oh, okay. And all the communists got really upset about this whole thing. But
still a massive, loads of Fijians come here to join the army.
Mm.
And
we like them. So
yeah.
Anyway, but we're out of time, so we're gonna head off because we do 1 till 2:30. Sorry, my brain is a bit fried. But if you want more content, go over to lotuseaters.com. We have loads of premium content up there. As I said, this afternoon we will have the history podcast that Carl did with Bodade. If you want some of Carl's content, if you're wondering where the heck Carl is, he's on holiday. He's on holiday for the next week and a bit. So he'll be back when he's back. But otherwise, we will see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye.